Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, good evening. This is the L.A. Steel Show. And tonight we have George Dixon joining us. Unfortunately, Lila won't be with us tonight. She's spending the evening with her grandson, her one-year-old grandson, who is up here vacationing. This is the last night she'll be with him, so she wanted to spend as much time as she could. Tonight we're going to be talking, I believe, again about the timeline, specific timeline, the Mayan calendar. And again, we talked about 1965 and going on through there, but I think it's significant, and before George comes on, I think it's significant to recognize the time period and how we parallel with now. I mean, it fascinated me that in 1965 you had the advent not only of civil rights, of the civil rights movement and the laws that followed subsequently, but you also had the beginning of Medicare and the Medicare bill passed, and just tremendous social reforms during that period, social upheavals. And I believe we're in the same thing now, and you're seeing people getting pretty testy everywhere politically, and you're starting to see the right take action, which is interesting. But the left is very, very serious right now, and to get their agendas passed and their policies approved. And so now is a time, a very, very volatile time in history, and I'm glad I'm living through it. And I lived through the last time, 65, but I was a little bit young, too young to appreciate it at that moment. But we got George on the line here, and we'll right away. Hey, George, good evening.
How you doing, Leo? You call it testy? People are getting testy?
Yeah, yeah. I had to laugh at those town hall meetings where they're driving out the Democratic House Speaker, the Democratic speakers.
Yes.
You heard about that, right?
On health care, yes.
Oh, it's hysterical. I think it's,
But it's happened all over the country, Leo. It's not just one place.
Oh, it's everywhere. I don't really know what they're bitching about, but, you know, I'm glad that they're bitching. That's all I care about. You know, everybody's got his own gripe, you know, and it's about time, you know, that the right has to, you know, stand up for what they believe in, because I mean they've been in control for the last 20 years. You know, they never had to play hardball. You know what I mean?
It's about time for who, Leo?
I'm sorry.
For what side? It's about time, you're saying.
No, it's time for the left now. I think the left is seriously taking charge and pushing their agendas, and I think it's a good thing. And there's always going to be a balance somewhere, but I think it's about time that some of these guys get kicked in the teeth, you know.
Yeah. Well.
Yeah.
They're
letting people know, you know.
It was kind of scary just watching the news today and seeing these people riot and push and shove, and it's become a circus out there.
Yeah. Well, you know what happened though. Yeah?
What is that?
They're pushing that issue. Cause they, what's going to happen is they're going to start arresting people. And, there's a lot of right-wing instigators there in those audiences, okay? And that's well known. But, it's fascinating to see what happens. I mean, they blame the left. I remember when they used to blame everything on the left. Oh, these guys are crazy, blah, 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 blah. Now all of a sudden, the blue-haired grandmother says, you know, gets up and starts throwing things at a representative.
You're being sidetracked by the illusion. the reason why they're acting this way is because the injustice that's given out to them, and
yeah.
it's come to a point where enough is enough. Enough. Yeah.
That's right. No, I totally agree with them. But at the same time, we had enough under Bush, too, and those bastards didn't say boo. You know, Bush.
Well, that's Bush, then, but this is right now, and it's coming out. It's exploding, and that is part of this.
Bad in this country, next to the Civil War. All right, and you know, and these bastards on the right said absolutely nothing. In fact, they put everybody on the left down. You know, everybody was a jerk. Nobody knew it. You know, every liberal was an atheist and a god awful human creature. You know, and I mean, I know because I'm a liberal talk show, and I used to get that shit from all those assholes to begin with. To me, it was a battle every day. It's a battle every day with these guys. You know. And you know, a voice to you got to speak out against these idiots, okay? And in fact, I wrote it on my website. I've been publishing this book I wrote, and I wrote I think two chapters ago. It was a full chapter on blue collar Republicans, all right? And the other chapter, next chapter, was the radical underground. And I swear to God, I mean, if you look, these blue collar Republicans are the kind of people that vote against their own best interests. You know, they're the ones that get swept up in these crazy governments, you know, maneuvers. They're the ones that wind up in the military. They're the ones that wind up, you know, it's a joke. You know?
Yeah, it is a joke. But what is a joke? That what you're focusing in on? Or that the hurdles that you have to put up with?
No, it's shaking them up. It's about time they get shooken up enough so that they, you know, let them get out there. Let them go hobnobbing around.
And what is shaking you up going to do? It's not going to solve the problem, Leo. You got to do more than shake them up.
You know why? You know why? Because I stood with 500,000 people in Washington, D.C. at the beginning of the war. And you know what? The goddamn media never covered those protests. And you know what? Now you got 100 people in a goddamn little town hall meeting with some yokel representative, you know, no one's ever heard of, and suddenly you know you got the whole world going, oh, it's a riot. Well, what was it when we had 500,000 people marching and calling Bush a son of a bitch over bullhorns, you know, and wanting to go after them in the White House? Why is that? Why did that never happen, George? And I'll tell you why. Because this goddamn country, all right, is full of idiots, complete and absolute freaking morons, all right, who will believe everything blindly that they're led to believe. And now you got assholes like Glenn Beck and guys like Sean Hannity and morons like Bill O'Reilly and all these guys heating up their followers, all right? These little blue-collar crazy people who can't fucking, you know, put one foot in front of the other without Rush Limbaugh telling them which way to move, all right? I mean, it's really, I'm so glad to see these people up and around, and I'll tell you what, you know, I'd like to see more of them. I'd like to see millions and millions of them running around the streets like we did, all right? And getting all kinds of freaking flack and attention and then getting arrested like we did.
Yeah, but if there comes a time that you're going to, you're not going to need to run around, Leo. And what are you going to do then? That's what I'm asking.
You know what, George?
You're getting
caught
up race.
Care. If I cared any more about what those people do, all right, I'd be a lunatic, okay? I don't care what those people do. I don't care anymore, George, because, you know, I played all my cards out. You know, it's up to them. I play my cards every single night on the radio.
Now, Leo.
You know what? I don't give a damn what they do. In fact, I hope they continue to do it, and I hope they lose a few teeth in the process, all right? And finally get some, yeah, so these right-wingers understand what it is to be up against, you know, up against the system like we were, okay, under George W. Bush, all right? And Ronald Reagan and all these other crudheads, okay?
Leo, where would you like to take this? Where would you like it to go from here? It's all exposed. What can you do with it?
I don't care anymore.
Realistically,
I hope that Obama would make a difference. He doesn't make any difference. Okay, he's the same.
Well, the difference of what? What can Obama do? What would you like to see him do?
One man. He can prove that one man in history can change history. All right, and one man that dedicated to social change in a bright way. Okay, not dictatorship or not, you know, destruction, but in constructive, you know, com- compassionate leadership, all right, then we can move this world into a safer place. We can move.
And how do you do that, Leo? How do you move this world into a safer place?
By reducing arms, by, you know, strong negotiations, by, you know, but not by not trying to steal everybody's country and not trying to manipulate everybody's government. All right, that's how you do it. I mean,
so what you're talking about is refocusing our wants and our needs and our desires, right? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, that's absolutely right. But focus them to the positive rather than focusing them into bloodshed and gore and stupidity, all right?
Well,
and ignorance. And that's, unfortunately, where we are.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm telling you, George, I'm telling you right now, I'm fearful of this in a way. But I can believe by November, December of this year, in the final, you're going to see a complete coup. You're going to see a complete takeover of this country.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, it wouldn't surprise me if something like did happen. But I think taking a look now at what's going on, I think this money that was put out to buy out these clunkers, I think it was a good deal. If nothing else, to put money back into the flow of things. And that's what it's going to be doing on all people, you know, from all sides, the people who buy the cars and the dealers themselves. But, you know, Leo, it's funny. You take a look at the statistics on how many people are out of work. What we've done is good, that we're taking these cars that are polluting the air off the road. And what are we going to do with them after that? You know, it's about time that we fire up our steel mills in this country again, because they closed them down years ago. Whole towns, companies and towns have been put out of business and it's just scattered away. Now what we do is that what metal that we have, we import from other countries like China. And whatever scrap metal we have in the last 10 years has been going out of the country faster than we can collect it. But now is a chance to take this steel from these cars and start our own foundries again and start mass producing again like we used to. It put a lot of us to work. But, you know, it's what we have ahead of us that we have to look at. The infrastructure of this country is falling apart. And this is a fact. This is not a fantasy. But we have all the steel and we have the manpower here to, you know, build and do what we have to do. And I'm not just talking about building it. You know, it's the education that goes along with it. I mean, engineers, you know, real engineers, not people behind computers. But it would give us a chance to get back what we've lost, but also to get back our integrity. And we could do this by, you know, just continuing our thought and, you know, not just appeasing the people, just let it die down, but continue that thought and put it into action. We have to do something, and we need some kind of intervention. And if we could use small things like this that are handed out to us, make the best of them, we can go a long ways with it. You know, I'm looking at this optimistically, Leo. I mean, things do not look good, that's for sure. But, you know, it's taking what we have and building what we can as some kind of security for, you know, the next 5-10 years.
Yeah, maybe, George, but I don't see is any real vision here, you know.
No, so what you do is you put it in there. Use your imagination.
Yeah,
and
it is a different color, you know. It's just a different color. And we're starting, Obama is starting to slide back. I mean, yeah, he wants to push this big bill. I'd like to see it go through, maybe, all right? But from what I've heard so far, I don't even want this bill, you know?
What bill is that, Leo?
The health care bill.
Okay.
Right? I mean, something was said the other night, and it was very true. If you put this bill to work, if they put this bill into effect and they insure 50 million more people, all right?
Yes.
What will happen is there's no increase in doctors, all right? Or hospitals, all right? That's where the hell are those 50 million people are going to, you know, going to go, all right? And is it going to affect? It's going to affect it probably will very much affect the quality of other people's private care health. Because those doctors will have to accept this thing. And, I mean, how the hell are you going to service 50 more million more people without the doctors? They'll have to start importing doctors right and left.
Yeah, well.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I don't see it, George. I mean, as much as I want, I'd love to see single-payer health insurance and so on and get this set up. But we're just, I mean, there's just so many obstacles to it. And the single-payer is now off the table. So it's not going to be a single-payer program anymore. And so that ruins the whole thing and makes it that much more expensive and screws up the whole process. So I don't know. I don't think we're going to get anywhere on this thing that we will want to be at. And there's so much opposition out there that also I'm surprised, even though I'm pro-choice, I was very surprised to hear that in there, under this public program, Medicare abortions will be legal. All right, will be mandated, will be allowed. State-paid abortions will be on demand. You know, so that's part of the bill as well, and that's what a lot of people are concerned about, as well as other problems that that they have, especially meeting out things with the oil people. Every 5 years they're going to give you, they're going to demand an update. They're going to call you and update whether or not you want to live or not. Do you want to live? You know, have you thought of your options of dying? That kind of thing. I saw this thing in the bill. I couldn't believe it. In the healthcare bill that rather than if somebody has terminal illness or somebody is like 85 or something and, you know, losing their mind and their family says, well, do you want to put them away or what, you know? Medicare won't cover all of this. Okay, so the new health plan won't cover long-term care and whatever, in hospice or something.
Leo's mindset.
Yeah, so what they're doing is every 5 years, every American is reevaluated as to what if they want to commit suicide or not. It's absolutely, to me, the whole thing is bizarre. They threw everything, every insane thing you could into this bill.
Leo?
The other day, this representative said it was $1 billion a page bill, 1,200 pages, $1.2 trillion, okay, was what this thing was going to cost. And he said it was $1 billion a page for that bill. Isn't that amazing?
$1 billion?
$1 billion per page. All right? The bill is 1,200 pages long. All right? And it's going to cost $1 billion per page once that's enacted. In other words, every page of that bill, the whole 1,200 pages, is going to cost $1.2 trillion.
Yeah, but Leo, what is that bill going to change, really? Is it going to change the people, or is it going to change the industry?
Well, quite frankly, what I would like to see, and I think...
No, what is the bill? What is the bill supposed to do?
It's supposed to give health care to everybody in this country. Affordable health care to everybody in this country.
Well...
Everybody. Everybody, from cradle to grave, everybody gets health care. And, paid for by the federal government.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, your taxes, but paid for by the federal government. And,
But what do the doctors, get out of this?
More business, I guess.
Well, there comes a point, you have to have some kind of limits. What? And I don't think there is any limits on this. There is no...
happen is they're going to get paid less. They're going to get paid less for doing more work, and they don't like that idea much at all.
Mm-hmm.
The doctors. So, and they're talking about making doctors salaried, as opposed to
okay,
free practice.
So. Is there a problem with that?
I don't know. If I was a doctor, I think I would be. But depending on how good.
If you had the security behind you to be a salaried person, a personnel, let's say, for the state, then you wouldn't have to worry about security that you would be provided for. Instead of having to, you know, make as much money as you can, invest it, and save for your retirement, why can't you work normally or work in what you do and be compensated for it, but also, you know, those later years be taken care of also. But you got to be realistic, though. Michael Moore in his movie Sicko, I think, brought out the idea that it was a doctor's, I think, from England, where they were only paid so much money, let's say, for a stitch-type cut.
Right.
And that was a responsibility to stay with the patient until that thing was healed, where they would be held liable, you know,
right,
to make sure that patient was cured for. And the state, in return, would pay him so much money.
Right.
And I think Michael Moore mentioned that the cost on that the doctor received was something like $6 or $7, compared to, you know, what the hell would they charge for 6 or 7 stitches, you know, in an emergency room, which is hundreds of dollars.
$700,
yeah. Yeah, so, you know, it's put it into perspective. Now, I'm also talking about the, you know, the doctor's care there is going to have a separate bill. But, you know, it does get outrageous because of the overhead that we've incorporated into these treatments that we receive. You know, it's nice to have, you know, number Z77 x-ray machine, you know, where it could take x-rays or CAT scans in a matter of seconds and blah, blah, blah. But, you know, who's paying for somebody else's amusement? And that amusement is not only the technology, but also it's the monetary money that they receive from it. So, you know, doctors understand that when they take an oath, they took an oath, you know, from their heart to help people, not to make as much as they want on them and keep them going, you know, for their own entertainment and also services. And, you know, it's become a pretty sad state in this country here where right now it's hard to find a GP where everybody else is specialized, specializes in those special fields. I'm not saying that's wrong. I'm just saying that, you know, you got to have some Indians, you know, in the tribe. You can't all be chiefs. And at this point, sometimes maybe it's time for these, a lot of these people are getting sick of the whole mess and breaking off themselves. What happened to Marcus Welby, M.D.? But, you know, there are some people out there who are old country doctors and practice medicine, you know, the way they, you know, it was intended to be practiced.
There was another story called, there was a 15 or 16-year-old doctor, all right? Do you remember that? I forgot his name.
Oh, Doug Doogie or something, Hauser?
Was that it, Doogie Hauser?
That's right, yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 15-year-old doctor or something.
That's a cute show, yeah.
Yeah, I remember one or two of those shows. But what I was curious about, George, I've been looking around here and trying to figure out, right now we're supposed to be experiencing the extraterrestrials. We're supposed to be seeing them during the sixth day. We're supposed to be communicating with them during the sixth day. What have you seen any new evidence on that, or any new sightings or anything that would be considered out of the unusual? Usually there's always a couple of sightings every year, but I mean, have we seen any rash of extraterrestrial sightings?
Well, there's definitely been a lot of sightings throughout the world.
Right.
And I think information now is somebody is on the verge of, you know, of acknowledging, you know, the aliens do exist in this country.
Right.
Well, now, the rest of the world has acknowledged these little critters up there and, you know, have incorporated into normal communication. You know, not above secret or secret information.
Yeah.
And the Mayans said that it is a time that we will meet up with our galactic neighbors. And how, you know, that's a hard one to answer. But I think, if nothing else, we're at a time where we're able to communicate on multi-levels of three dimensions. So I don't think it's a matter of communicating, of not being able to communicate. We can communicate. But I think, you know, there has been talk about this planet being quarantined from our galactic neighbors or the galactic knowledge or consciousness, you know, that's in our system. There's a lot of evidence now, I think, of bringing it right to the surface. And I do believe that right now it's a scatter to being able to position themselves in control when this thing does get out on a, you know, national basis. And but I think that is part of the illusion that you know, it's been being played out for the last 40, 50 years. But I feel that this is just a front, you know, for the real meeting or introduction to all planet cultures. And you know, that could be next spring. But you know, it also follows the Mayan pattern too, that you know, even though we might have communication with it right now, with them, the acknowledgement of that is going to take a while for it to filter down. And the restrictions that have been put up for so many years is falling, the veil is falling. And, you know, just like a lot of things in our times right now, the illusion is falling apart, and you could see the man behind the curtain, and people are up in arms. And, you know, it's questioning now, you know, not only why this battle is here, but why aren't we dealing with a real problem? And that is, you know, trying to take care of ourselves instead of controlling ourselves.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. And I think that, I personally think that public health care, okay, is one of the ways, to achieve that higher level of consciousness that we aspire to, and in enlightenment, you know, believing that your fellow citizen, your fellow human being, actually, should have medical attention, you know, should be able to have medical attention as a right to life. You know, as a life. I mean, as far as the quality, well, you know, you're hoping that the quality will be adequate, but you know, to have exceeding quality, I don't know. I mean, maybe you have to pay more to run 100 different tests. You know what I mean? Or maybe there'll be something else. But the fact is that the basic guy who needs a tooth filled, or the basic guy who's got a bad rash and can't afford to go to the doctors to get it fixed, or a guy who's got a chopped off finger, and you know, who the hell knows? I mean, there's a million bajillion things that could go wrong that 50 million people in this country can't afford to go to a doctor to fix, and likewise, you know, these things are a problem. We had I feel that. National healthcare is one very, very powerful and meaningful way of following the golden rule, you know, unto others as you would have done unto you. And that is one of the ways. I mean, regardless of who the person is or what the person's politics are or whatever, the fact is that guy or girl or kid will be able to have healthcare. You know what I mean? And possibly save his life. And I, you know, and there's nothing more vital to me than that. All right?
Well, there is for me. Rise above this thing and don't have to, don't need to see a medical practitioner for your health.
Oh, no, I'm not saying there's not, but I'm saying there are moments in one's life, okay, that chances are you may wind up needing a medical practitioner, all right, regardless, in a car accident or so, who the hell knows, but, you know, or your heart attack, or, you know, you don't know. So it's like, but I'm grateful they're out, but, you know, I'm reluctant to run to use one because, you know, I don't need one and right now, and at the same time, they're very, very expensive. So, you know,
there are alternatives, Leo.
There are many alternatives, George, but, you know what I'm saying.
But, you know, sometimes you got to sit back and you take it too seriously. And I've said it before, we're only remembering things we already know anyways. So it's just for refamiliarizing ourselves. So, you know, understanding the energies we do have, I've always said that, you know, I try to keep in contact with myself, and if there's anything that is threatening, the body has got 100% it has my permission to do whatever it needs to take care of itself. And we have the abilities to change our DNA, and these are just thought patterns. And this is something that's coming into play right now, and it's part of the energies that we're receiving, or we're able to tap into, I should say. You know, this is like an outside source. We've talked about the energies we're receiving from our sun, the energies that's resonating around us in the Schulner field. We have to be affected somehow by this. We are, and it's our ability, our remembering what we have, you know, as beings, you know, in a third dimension. We have the capacity and the ability to ascend above this. And, you know, we've talked recently about understanding the ascending process. Ascension is actually the same path that we descended down upon. So in ascending back up that, you know, it's not a matter of learning. All we have to do is tap into the knowledge that we have when we pass through that area the first time.
Yeah, so you think we can heal ourselves?
Without a doubt, Leo. Without a doubt. We do have control over that, but it's the inability to accept the fact that we create our own reality, our own illusion, and yet we do control that illusion. And it's the illusion of the thoughts that go into the illusion that we're experiencing. It's in that illusion that things can change, and it's not a polarity lock where either it's good or bad. It's all through the emotional body of experiencing it, not thinking about it, and it's through the experience that we draw to ourselves that it manifests.
I believe that, George, and I've seen it, but I'll also say,
very easy to get sidetracked by all this gobbledygook of what you have to do here to do that, and you know, just like complaining against, you know, the foes that we have right now. You know, it's another rabbit hole, and you don't have to go down that rabbit hole, but we have the ability to walk around it, but we also have the ability to erase that rabbit hole as if it's not there. And that's the whole point. If we take it out of our reality, it's not part of our reality. It's like a rock in our path. If there's no rock there to stumble over, we're not going to stumble. But first of all, you got to move the damn thing.
Or step over it, you know?
Well, no, you step over it, you know, is still acknowledging that that rock is there. What you got to do is remove it. Once it's removed, you know, it's you're not restricted at all. It never was, because it doesn't exist. It's like erasing it from your memory.
Yeah, I haven't gotten to that point yet, I swear. As much as I want to, I haven't been able to successfully remove those rocks in my path, because they're there, and
Hey, Leo, all you got to do is reach down, pick it up, and throw it the hell away.
These are pretty big rocks, George.
No. Yeah, I know. So you got a steam shovel. What can I tell you? But sooner or later, you're going to find something to move it, or you're going to have to move it yourself.
Well, no,
so,
I know. I really find it easier, all right, and quicker to walk around it, you know. So and not go back that way. You know what I mean? And that's the way I look at my path, if you will. There's always some obstacle in it, but, you know, depending, it could be there to learn from, or it could be there to annoy you. And, you know, it's like I find it to be both, you know, and sometimes it's hard to discern what side those obstacles are on, or whether they're there to annoy you or whether they're there to teach you. And a lot of major obstacles that I've had have taught me very big lessons, but there are a lot of them that I don't understand why they were there to begin with, and I was unable to move them. I had to move myself around them, and so I mean those are critical areas where either you have found yourself on the wrong path or off your path, all right, or that you find this obstacle on your path and you have to. You know, it's your responsibility to move forward in the best way that you can, whether it's to move the rock out or move the obstacle out of the way, or to walk over it or simply fly over it, whatever is your chosen method. But you know, every time I've run into those, I've had difficulty, especially the big ones. Small ones, no major problem, but the big ones. Those are, and I think of your buddy Bashar, who stated every time you know anything that captures your attention,
yes,
changes your life, all right, changes the direction of your life, all right, so that. You have to be careful with what you're attracted to, all right? Because the minute you pay attention to that, it's going to change your life and change the direction of your life. So.
Well, it can, yes. It depends on how you perceive it, you know, like with anything. But it's living in the moment that you experience it. Not living in the past or the present or past or the future, where you're busy trying to calculate how it could be or it should have been, by experiencing firsthand, you're getting the full brunt of the experience.
Yeah. Well, how do you feel? Do you think that, like, let's say in 2012, we achieved some level of enlightenment. And things change, and we're suddenly into a fourth dimensional or fifth dimensional reality. What can we expect, George? What can we expect that?
Yeah, well, but Leo, let's jump back here. Understand how we've come to that level of reality. It's through the everyday experiences that we see around us and live through that is raising our consciousness. And, you know, I'm talking about the effects that the weather has had on people all over the country in the last year or so forth, year and a half, that it has affected their lives to one way or another, but it's something that's altered and changed their view of these weather patterns. And, you know, it's actually going with the flow. And that is something that's happening to us now. We're adjusting with it, with the options that we have available, which are more now. But we're not slowly, but we're on a fast path to bring ourselves up to experience the full impact of the illusion that we are producing and that is being produced around us by not only ourselves, but also by the energies of the patterns that have been put in motion for hundreds of years. And that was that has to complete itself because we are in a three-dimensional domain where it is just part of how energies are going to react, good and bad. And, you know, this comes back to the triad that we talked about, where, you know, we live in a dualistic world, but it's a triad of experiences that we're experiencing. And it has to do, with the esoteric beliefs, the first three in the Trinity, the husband, the wife, and the offspring, the child. Or we've talked before about understanding you yourself as a spirit, where you are three in one, in a sense, where, first of all, it's understanding that you are a person or you are a spirit, you are a private entity, and it's your drive or your ambitions of what you want that you put in motion by doing, by experiencing. And it's by experiencing you have what you set out to experience. So it is the dualistic of, you know, the be and to do, and from that you have the results, which is what you what you're left with. I'm getting caught up by here, but we are just experiencing the completion of uniting not only the three-dimensional logical brain, we're actually uniting it with the emotional body of the earth and of the consciousness itself, God, if you'd want to put it that way.
So tell me this, George. What is the parallel? What is the timeline for November? You know, for the sixth night.
Oh, for the sixth night, November, we go into the sixth night, and that basically is the actual crumbling of the old established ways. And right now, in the fifth night we experienced the last year, was bringing out the dark side of our nature, and it's that choice that we find ourselves in the sixth day now of what we're going to do with it. And we're seeing it for what it is, and we're dropping, which is not as right, and rebuilding. But now is a time where we're actually defining where we want to go, you know, with the next 4 years, if you'd want to call it that. And we're starting to put them in motion. But before we can move forward, we have to collapse the old system, and that is what is going to be collapsing for our period going into the sixth night, and that's going to be the completion of the destruction of the old ways. So you know, the bad times that people are looking for, you know, is in this night period that is coming, and but before then, understand that when we go into it, you know, the leaves from the tree are going to fall, and this fall could be very interesting on all avenues, not only the financial avenues, but also, you know, the medical avenues that this is all leading to, and that's actually what it's doing. And there are other strings that are in motion right now, and I think this is on a global network basis, and you know, I think it's going to be interesting to watch and see how it pans out.
Yeah,
I mean, you know, the tensions over there in you know, in the Orient have been quite high, and over in Europe, I mean, we've had our skirmishes, I think, with some of these European governments, the Russians, the Georgians. And, you know, we have a lot of pressure put on Afghanistan, Pakistan, India, and Iraq, of course. But, you know, there's a lot of tensions in the air now. And the worst news is the news that you don't hear. And that's what scares me, because everything is Everything is censored to a point where, you don't know who to believe. All I can do is sit back and try to, stay clear of anything that, I'm not crazy about.
Well, I still think that what Ian Lungle said about what would happen now, fifth night, sixth day, this period, he said people would start going insane. You know, he says people would start breaking down and things would be, everything around them, you know, was starting to break down, the established society.
Look at this guy that went crazy in the gymnasium a couple days ago.
Yeah, they're going crazy everywhere, George. I mean, everyone's going crazy. The people are just, you know, packing guns and going out and shooting everybody.
Yeah.
And it's just ridiculous. And people are under great stress. They're under, over half this country is on some kind of antidepressant, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Just unbelievable. So, hey, you know, whatever floats your boat, I guess, but as John Lennon said, whatever gets you through the night is all right. And I think that's what people are starting to understand, that, you have to do something, whatever it is you do to keep your sanity, that's what you got to do, you know, and however, whatever it is. And I swear, that's kind of the way I am. I whatever I do to hold down it suits me fine, as whatever it may be. Cup of coffee in the morning, a drink in the afternoon. I don't know. You know, just whatever it is. In fact, I'd rather have a drink in the afternoon than two Xanax or something. You know what I mean? Two Xanax and a drink. You know, whatever. I mean, some people really do that. A lot of people do that. You know, and you take a guy like Mike Jackson. I mean, that guy. I mean, cripes. I just read the other day, what happened was that doctor that he had, full-time doctor that he had, live-in doctor that he had, gave him two sedatives and that propofol, all right, on top of it for him to go to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine that. Hey, what the hell? I mean, I can't imagine.
I can't imagine that. I can.
Yeah, I can't imagine my life, how much, I mean, what I would give away, I mean, he was worth $1 billion, all right, and most famous guy in the world, all right, and yet, I mean, the man looked like a complete and utter lunatic, acted like a lunatic, and couldn't sleep, could never get to sleep. So, I mean, what price did this poor bastard pay for his fame and money, you know? This is just a terrible thought. I would rather be able to sleep and not worry about my $1 billion fortune.
Well, you know, I was reading the article in the paper, the Times, where they were describing this habit that people get into. And first of all, this is not this is something you can buy over the counter. You don't need a prescription to buy. And, people have been able to buy it, over the counter. And it's just a new form of high. And they said that in some places this replaced sodium pentothal. And in a sodium pentothal stupor, where, you know, we've talked about astral projection and traveling. And you would be able to experience that in this condition.
Wow.
And where people were taking this just to relax or to find themselves, 50 cap naps just to refresh themselves.
What was the drug?
No, it's the same drug that Michael Jackson was given.
No, he was taking OxyContin as well as
Not OxyContin, the propofol.
Oh no, that stuff they don't administer over the counter. That's purely a hospital item.
No, it's not. No, it's not. And that's where the legal problem is right now, because it hasn't been clarified as a controlled substance. It's not a controlled substance.
Whoa, I thought it was.
No, it's not. And now, in trying to catalog it, they can catalog it as a controlled substance. But here again, there hasn't been enough statistics on, you know, the casualties in using this drug. So, you know, this is just another drug that they use, but it hasn't been claimed for only certain usages only, and that's part of holding people down by taking away the four aphrodisiacs that we've been used to, for our own amazement, but also our own experience of consciousness.
Yeah, I don't know, man. As far as I'm concerned, I don't think I'd want to experience an IV, plug in my IV so that I could, immediately go unconscious and then need somebody to revive me.
Well, no. You don't need anybody to revive you on that. It's the dosages that you get. The problem is that there's no set dosages, you know, for a certain age or weight people. That is like a catch-can type of operation.
Wow. This stuff it stops your heart, for crying out loud.
Well, it can stop your heart.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean it does. It can. It depends on how much you have in your system. And the body metabolizes it very quick.
I don't know. Well, that's how much little I know. I was watching Dr. Gupta on House Calls or whatever. Dr. Gupta. And he was saying that the damn stuff has to be used in hospital only. And he showed an operation there where this stuff was being administered.
Yes.
The person's heart stopped, okay? And they had to restart the heart.
Yes.
Okay, once they administered this stuff. And so he's saying, you know, this cannot be used, for home remedy, you know. So, I don't know. Dr. Gupta, he didn't say anything that it was, that you could get it over the counter, but I don't know.
Well, if you want, Leo, you know, just pick up today's New York Times, and I believe it was listed on the first page, and it goes to, continues on at page 3. But it talks about the drug and a small connection with Michael Jackson. But basically, among the industry, the professionals, the doctors who have been addicted somewhat to this drug, and they break it down. And like I said, it's not a controlled substance.
All right. So, I was thinking of how I don't know if I've ever really had that much trouble sleeping. That
I think it was page 3. Go ahead.
Half a bottle or a bottle of wine didn't knock me out, you know? I don't know. I can't recall a time when I was so overwrought that I couldn't sleep, you know? And that's probably good. Even in the worst times that I was at least I you know, found ways that I could go to sleep, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, but anyway, I don't know. That's,
Well, Leo, 1965, Timothy Leary, I think, opened our minds to hallucinogenics.
Right.
Or to elaborate on it. And, it was part of this new revolution that we were to experience. And right now we're in a new revolution, a new renaissance, and it's amazing, what comes out of this. And one thing we did learn was we learned that from external means we can take ourselves outside of ourselves, and that's what the drug industry has done. And not only, for hallucinogenics, but you take a look at the different drugs that we've come out with. It does two things. You go up or you go down, and everything in between, that's with the other medications controlling this or controlling that.
Yeah.
But we've come a long ways. And, you know, I joke with my friend that, you know, they stopped performing lobotomies because they didn't need to. They had pills that do the same thing. And, you know, you get into these heavy psychotropics like Thorazine and so forth, and, you know, they'll knock you on your ass for the rest of your life.
I've heard of people and seen people on Thorazine.
It's amazing, but I think that's another part of the reality that we've experienced in the medical industry that really hasn't come to the surface, and that is coming to the surface.
I see that, but, you know, there are people that are actually crazy out there, George. I mean, they're absolutely, totally crazy. And they will, you know, they throw fits and they go crazy. They jump off buildings. They, you know, jump on people. They go mad. They have to be tied down and brought out and put in a cell, padded cell, and just so they don't hurt themselves. And you know, they're there. What do you do for these people? What can they do for themselves? I don't know. But it's like once you go wacky, you never come backy.
That's what they say, but I don't believe that.
You go wacky, you never go backy, you know.
I don't believe that. I think if we had a chance and dry ourselves out, you know, it'd be a lot easier to start again, you know, without outside inhibitors, you know, and that's what we have right now. You know, it's funny. It's something that maybe we can't do anything about, but even the foods, the processed foods that we eat, have all genetic engineering built into them. And, you know, we give the cattle from the beef that we eat so many different hormones that, of course, you know, we're raising obese generations. It's because of the foods that we eat. The hormones are already in the food. So it's not our metabolizing misfunction. It's actually the food that we're eating. So, you know, the food train on this one is all screwed up, but it's all intermixed with outside pharmaceutical agents or manipulation in one way or another.
You know, I was just thinking, we've got a few more minutes here. I forgot what I was going to say, George. I'm sorry. We only got about two more minutes, but I wanted to ask people if they're interested in continuing the conversation with us or listening to the rest of it. Please call 646-915-9505, and I'll put you on. Otherwise, you have 2 minutes to do that. Again, that's 646-915-9505, and I'd love to talk to you. We're talking with George Dixon, and okay, so. If you don't call, then we will be losing you in about 1 minute and 50 seconds. Have a pleasant evening, and please join us next week, or Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday night. So George, go ahead. I'm sorry.
So Leo, there are people that are storing up seeds from unmanipulated seed beds and trying to store organic seeds. And because so many of our seeds right now and the ones that are put into production are all manipulated. So a lot of these manipulated seeds, they're genetically engineered to, only be able to produce so much and so forth. But it's all a controlling factor by being able to control. The control of the industry.
Yeah, the
it's just scary. It really is. You know that. You know what gives us the right to not only to do this, but also to continue to elude. You know, the real truth, or the real existence of it.
Yeah, I mean that's one of. I mean, what gives any company the right to hold back food to the masses? And it's like it's a frightening thing. But we got 30 seconds left, so if anybody wants to call, 646-915-9505. Otherwise, we want to thank you very much for joining us. And Please join us again on Wednesday night, Thursday and Friday night, and on WQQQ.com on Tuesday night at 8 to 10. So thanks for joining us, and good night. And George, you can continue. I'm sorry, we just lost our feed here. So
there you go. Well, you know, Leo, I was thinking about this the other day. You know, there's a lot of cornfields in upstate New York. And, you know, with this corn, you know, they're able to manipulate so much of it, manipulate it to a point where some corn, you know, they'll just use the sugar from it, corn syrup and so forth. And, you know, they're genetically manipulated just to produce that that part of the that product, you know, up from the ear and less than the other properties. But you know, it's funny because in my reading years ago, they talk about corn was one of the few plants on the earth that didn't originate here. That it wasn't, it didn't follow an evolutionary path, you know, of certain.
No, it was to be like a gift from the gods. They considered it was given to the indigenous people in South America, I think, to grow it.
Mm-hmm.
And,
but it doesn't have the nutritional values that you know that you would think it would have.
Right.
You know, it's something that's not long lasting, and you know, I found that kind of strange when I heard that.
Hydrate, right? Yeah, it's a carbohydrate, basically sweet sugar.
It doesn't break down or whatever, and you know, along with the corn. You know, I was thinking about there are certain animals also that supposedly came off planet. And I think some of those are a few of them, different mountain goats or something, you know, that is not from around here. I think it's more South American.
Hmm.
Yeah, it was just interesting, you know, to think about that if something has been manipulated beforehand, who's to say, you know, it's going to continue its trait but also be a byproduct of manipulating factors, and that's how I was looking at it, as being something that is an expression of manipulation, you know, going way, way back, and you know, we can go back millions of years if we wanted to on this one, you know, but you know, it's part of the life forms that you know that are among us today.
Okay. Well. You know, George, I was wondering if we didn't get any callers here, but thinking of you know, do you want to say anything, you want to have anything else you want to talk about, or?
No, I think that's about it for tonight, Leo.
Okay, George. Yeah, it was a nice talk. Thanks, and we'll figure out something else for next week. And but in the meantime, I want to thank you, George, for being with us.
Well, I like to continue on. I think the healthcare issues that are being raised,
I'd like to look at
favorable alternatives, though.
Yeah, I'd like to look at, like, the current events that we see, relating them to the timeline of the Mayan calendar, as well as, you know, give us some kind of an idea, or some prophetic idea of what to expect come November, December, you know, as we get into the sixth night. And I'm very, very curious to see what's going to come up. So, anyway, I'm sure a lot of people are.
Leo, then I'll say goodnight, and I'll see you next week, my friend.
All right, guys, I'll tell you. Maybe we can talk tomorrow.
Sounds good.
All right.
Adios now.
Good night, George. Thanks for being on. And I want to thank everybody for joining us again, and have a pleasant weekend. Good night.